Welcome back to That 590 Show. Matt Berger, Matt Rocchio, and John G. Monty Rudolph. If you're trying to call during that first segment, our apologies. We were not ignoring you. We had the ringer on silent accidentally. You know that we take all calls here if we can. We can't right now, though, because joining us on the Bellman Automotive phone line is a writer for RedbirdDaily.com. You can follow him on Twitter at A Ton of Clayton. He is the new mayor of Chicago, Clay Beiersdorfer. Clay, how are you, sir?
Oh, man, mayor of Chicago. I don't know about that, boys. But, yeah, it's good to hear you guys' voice. It's good to talk some baseball.
How's the transformation to the second city been?
Just awful. I see you guys have just been pounded by some rain down there. Chicago has not been much different, let me tell you. The only thing on top of that is the wind has been just awful. So it's a monsoon, and, I've had 2 weeks here, and I'm adjusting slowly, I guess, to answer your question.
Let's talk about the about the play on the field last night, and it seems like the Cardinals were hoping they were going to adjust as far as fielding and base running goes, but so far that has not happened. During the offseason, the Cardinals added a new managerial role, I guess you could say, or a new managerial position called quality control coach, and that guy's name is Mike Shildt, and so far that's exactly what he's done. He hasn't done Jack Shildt for this team's base running and its defense. Is this something that they could ever turn around throughout the course of this year? Or, like, look, we just got to face facts. No matter the amount of coaching, they're just collectively not very good at fielding and not very good at base running.
Yeah, I think you kind of said it, Matt. To me, honestly, you know, with all the lackadaisical approach, you know, on the base pass and you know, defensively, it's a cause for concern, no doubt. And to me, it really makes me wonder, you know, what does a quality control coach do? If he's not, you know, controlling the quality of play on the field, pointing out things to, you know, Mike Matheny and, John Mabry, the hitting coach, and the other coaches on staff. But you summed it up perfectly. It's been atrocious, from the top down. In terms of coaching, you know, these are professional athletes, so there's only so much that you can put on the coaching staff. You look at guys like Mike Shildt, and Maloney at third. They can only take part of the blame. I mean, these guys are professional athletes. They've been up and down every level of, you know, professional baseball and amateur baseball. These are some things that they should just know how to do, and they should understand the concept of the game and the flow of the game and when to push it and when not to push it. But I agree, you know, it goes on the coaching staff somewhat, but it cannot be overlooked enough that it goes down to a player decision-making process too.
I'm reading what you wrote on RedbirdDaily.com. The Cardinals have the second most errors in Major League Baseball, the worst fielding percentage, and the worst defensive efficiency. Let that sink in. And it seems like this goes even back to last season. They weren't a very good team defensively. And Mike Matheny kind of gave us the Mike Martz, Jeff Fisher, oh, shoot, we'll fix that. And so far it hasn't happened.
Yeah, it's funny that you lump in Mike Matheny with Jeff Fisher. They're just giving us the runaround. I mean, at a point in time, it's just like, you know, when do the excuses stop? And, you know, we either just, you know, tell people, hey, this is just a bad defensive team and we need to make some adjustments because of it. And I can't honestly give you any adjustments, you know, defensively as far as, you know, what they could do better. But it just comes down to basic fundamentals from the Cardinals. I mean, they're not making, they're making the easy plays look hard, and they're making the hard plays just look awful. And they're just falling victim, you know, to that because of, you know, what's going on the field. And that's why you see the Cardinals, you know, sitting around 500 right now.
What do you make of second baseman Colton Wong? I said in the first segment that I think it's about time for these two to for the player and the franchise to have an amicable divorce. And last night when I had JJ Bailey on from CampbellV.com, I said that Colton Wong, he's like that singer who can sing Pagliacci flawlessly but flub up Happy Birthday. What do you think the Cardinals need to do with Colton Wong? Is it time to maybe just, you know, call a shovel and see what you can package him for in a trade, or do you think he's worth salvaging?
Well, I, you know, from a player standpoint, you know, and statistical standpoint, Colton Wong is, you know, seemingly performing offensively to the point where maybe you could get some value out of him in a trade. You know, he seems to be hitting the ball better as of, you know, the last 2 or 3 weeks. But you know me, I've never been a Colton Wong guy. I think the guy honestly just gets too much inside of his head. You kind of heard it last night where, you know, he put the entire loss on himself. Psychologically, I don't get it. You know, it's kind of admirable when, you know, you're a big name player and you could say, hey, this one's on me, guys. But baseball is so much more, you know, of a team game. And, you know, for Colton to undertake that, you know, in the position, especially that he's been in, you know, it just didn't make sense to me. I get it. You know, it's cute to some degree. And then on top of that, you have Mike Matheny, who, you know, went to bat for him emphatically last night, which was almost weird, you know, to an extent. You know, we just haven't seen, you know, Mike do that a whole lot, you know, to that degree. But, you know, Colton Wong is Colton Wong. You know, I think what we've seen out of him, we're not going to get any more, you know, we're probably going to get less. So honestly, you know, whether you trade him, whether, you know, you DCA, I don't know. They've got a lot of money invested him in too, him as well. I mean, so he's a head scratcher to say the least.
And I think he has a very tradable contract. Everybody keeps breaking up that Colton Wong contract like he's making $20 million a year when he's only making $5 million. He's a young player. I think that there'd be a team out there that'd be more than willing to take a chance on him. I'm not saying they're going to give us a haul if we trade him straight up, but I think if we add him in, if he's kind of like a topper on a deal, I think another team will take that. Let's talk about the starting pitching. Carlos Martinez and Adam Wainwright are supposed to be 1 and 2 respectively in the rotation, but so far those are the two worst pitchers in the Cardinals rotation. How counterintuitive is that?
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense on paper when your 1 and 2 guys are just absolutely, you know, losing games. Wainwright especially. Carlos has shown obviously, you know, signs of being dominant if you go back to the first game of the year against the Cubs. But Wainwright has just been awful. His velocity has not been there. His sharpness on his curveball, you know, and his cutter has just not been effective. And, you know, I think the Cardinals are really in a position now to where they have to honestly ask themselves, you know, what are we going to do with Adam Wainwright if he continues on this trend? And, you know, as a Cardinals fan for, you know, my entire life, it's almost just kind of scary to think like, wow, this, you know, this is it. With Carlos, you know, I think Carlos is honestly going to bounce back. He has way too much talent not to be effective. Thank God he cut that hair off. I don't know if it was just getting into his head or if it was throwing off his motion or what, but that haircut was ugly. And his pitching performances haven't been much better. But I think, like I said, Carlos has way too much talent not to bounce back, to be, you know, above, you know, average pitcher. He definitely has the most electric stuff, in terms of talent, on the staff. And you need him to be your number one guy if you think you're going to contend at the end of the year if you're the Cardinals.
Aren't they making a new Predator movie? Maybe he had an audition in between starts or something. I don't know. Maybe that's the reason for the hair.
He stayed in character way too long.
So the Cardinals finally get Tyler Lyons back, a couple weeks ago when Peralta went on the DL. And it seems like for some reason Mike Matheny was real reluctant to use him. Finally used him last night, and then today he goes on the 10-day DL with a intercostal strain, whatever that is. So he finally uses Tyler Lyons, and then Tyler Lyons goes on the DL immediately after. Maybe he never should have been brought back off the DL to begin with, or what's your read on this?
Yeah, it tells me that, you know, even though the organization from a front office standpoint might have, you know, felt it was the best move, Mike Matheny saw something and knew something that we all didn't know. There were a couple of nights where he definitely could have used him, and, you know, you had people like a struggling Kevin Zegras and, you know, a worthless Jonathan Broxton coming into the game, and it really made you think, like, you know, why is Tyler Lyons even here? But to me, Tyler not pitching a lot and then coming in last night and now going to the DL, it tells me that Mike and, you know, maybe the coaching staff knew something that we didn't know, whether he just, you know, had a dead arm or was tired or what. They didn't want to throw him out there but knew that he could still be effective. But now that he's on the DL, I couldn't even tell you what that injury is. It tells me that maybe he's not entirely healthy and not really ready to be effective at the major league level.
Let's talk about tonight's opponent, the Milwaukee Brewers, and right now their surprise breakout player in Eric Thames. I think that a lot of people, Brewers fans, were probably kind of concerned about, you know, who's going to hit home runs for this team with Chris Carter leaving the organization and going to, I believe, the New York Yankees or Toronto Blue Jays. I can't remember which one it is. And then here comes Eric Thames out of the Korean League, and all he's done is just completely hit the hell out of the ball and being accused of juicing by his competitors. Just how special has Eric Thames been so far this year?
Special is an understatement, and you were definitely right. The Brewers were worried, and when Chris Carter went to the Yankees, who's going to provide the power, especially with Ryan Braun now aging, not really in the peak of his career anymore. But they definitely needed another bat, and they took a big gamble with Eric Thames coming, you know, over from the international baseball. He's been nothing short of phenomenal. I wrote about, you know, him and his performance for the Redbird Daily, yesterday, or actually this morning, and what that's meant to them. He's basically keeping them in ball games, and he's providing all the offensive support. The best thing that you like about Thames is he's not only hitting for power, but he's hitting for average.
Yeah, he's got a .345 average. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that Chris Carter was kind of struggled last year. So not only is, you know, he putting a ball over the fence, it seems like every other night, but he continues to hit for, you know, a high average, get on base, and let some of those other players even score runs. And they definitely need it with that pitching staff that they have. It's not really great. So they're going to need all the runs they can get, and Eric Thames just continues to surprise everybody in the major leagues.
And I like the shout-out you gave to Memphis Grizzlies head coach David Fizdale with that take that for data.
Take that for data. yeah. I mean, it's so great, honestly. And I kind of wrote it, like I said, I wrote about it this morning for the Redbird Daily. I cannot wish enough for Eric Thames and his story to be just so genuine and not be meddled with, you know, PED use or anything like that. I know the guy's been tested 3 times in the last, 10, 12 days.
And he seems really confident about it, too, because he's like, hey, I got plenty of blood, I got plenty of urine, you know, come take whatever you want.
Right. Well, he's going to need a heck of a lot more of it if they continue to test him at that rate. But like I said, I really want the Eric Thames story to continue. I think baseball needs just a really good story. And what Eric Thames is doing for, you know, for not only the Milwaukee Brewers but for Major League Baseball is nothing short of incredible. And like I said, I hope he hits 80 home runs and then, you know, gives everybody the bird at the end of the year when all of his P-tests come back negative.
Clay Beiersdorfer joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Ton of Clayton. Let's talk about the team that's on the top right now, the Chicago Cubs. They are first in the division, but they're hardly dominating. Offense has been outstanding. Starting pitching has been okay, but their real Achilles heel right now is kind of like the middle relief. Just how dangerous do you think that's going to be for the Cubbies throughout this entire season?
They're in first, so they're doing something right, and that's credit to, you know, the lineup that Joe Maddon put out on the field. But you said it, you know, starting pitching has been decent, good, you know, and they performed, you know, at a pretty good level. The middle relief, though, is what's killing them. Other than Carl Edwards Jr., who's, you know, pitching in between his NASCAR pit stops, you know, it's a cause for concern. You know, Wade Davis, you know, the back end of the bullpen has been really good. But, you know, you have the rest of their relievers. Yui Hara just absolutely blew it for them the other night in Boston. Strope continued the, you know, just comeback that the Red Sox had. And these are guys that, you know, are paid a pretty good, decent amount of money to be your guys. I mean, these are the guys that you need to be effective. It's not even those guys, you know, that just pitch, you know, as a reliever every, you know, 3-4 days. It's those guys that you need to come in consistently on a, you know, every other night basis and to perform well. So guys like Yui Hara, Kedro Strope, those are the guys that still aren't being really, really effective. And if I'm Theo Epstein, that's, you know, that's something I'm targeting at the deadline for sure. And it really makes you as a Cardinals fan feel you know, confident that, that maybe Brett Cecil, you know, as a middle, you know, considered middle reliever guy can continue to be effective. Trevor Rosenthal, hopefully, you know, he stays healthy. And then, you know, O continues to do good things in the ninth. But, yeah, the Cubs' middle relievers are just not performing up to snuff right now.
Clay Beiersdorfer, we appreciate your insight as always, sir. I hope things in Chicago get a little bit better for you. I'm sure that will change. I'm sure that will change once the weather gets a little bit better. And the next time we you on, you're going to be bragging about, oh man, we went to the Navy Pier, we went to the beach. You should have seen all the girls there and blah 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 blah. Clay, thanks again, my friend, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
That is Clay Beiersdorfer from RedbirdDaily.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Ton of Clayton. We had someone call in and said that and claim that we blocked their text on the text line. Sir, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't even know how to do that.
I would say they should make sure they're typing in the right number, because it's
that too. Yeah, the number is 855-282-8255, and maybe someone else on another show blocked your text. I don't know.
Or text better.
Or that too. That could be it too. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by our friend Nick Hand from STLSportsPage.com. You're listening to That 590 Show on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.